already Tuesday again? As I look at Mitty jotting down notes in his notebook, he's going to come with some hardcore hitting action today, I feel. Good morning to you, Mitty.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today, sir?
Doing great. Doing great. So much action. Yesterday, actually, maybe I'm not great. I mean, that was just my canned standard response. I typically, you know, do what everybody else. How are you doing? Oh, doing good. You know, nobody really cares, actually, how anybody else is doing nowadays. I've said this forever. So maybe I'm not great. Because yesterday's show, I don't think, was my best, Mitty. Did you get a chance to listen to that?
Yesterday, I did not do much of anything as sports related, other than watch the Celtics game last night. But
nice.
I had a busy day yesterday. I was running all over the place, and I finished off with my first chiropractor visit. So, yeah.
Ever?
Feeling that. In 20 years, yeah.
Did they adjust your neck?
Well, I got in a bad car accident back in 05. Don't really talk about it much because I'm not super proud of it, but I broke my ankle, both my knees, my left hip, my right hand, and my jaw in four places. So I'm the million-dollar man now. But I have been in pain for 20 years, and I just silently deal with it because I don't really know what to do, and I don't want to be on pills. So I went to a chiro, and man, he took a picture of my back, and it didn't look good. But he's very confident he's going to straighten me out.
And you got the x-rays done right there, and he's able to show
him.
You.
You know, I almost brought him to show you.
It's cool. When you go to the chiropractor, like before they adjust you, most chiropractors want to take the x-rays to
see. Actually, it's changed.
Really?
Let me tell you, they got two machines. One of them uses thermo technology, and it looks like a cattle prod with two little balls on the tip, and he goes down your spine, and it reads subtle temperature changes on either side of your spine, which indicates which way it goes.
Did that get excited
to
you?
It felt like a massage.
Oh, it did. You liked that.
Yeah.
Was it hot like a cattle prod too?
No, just reads the temperature. Doesn't change it.
Okay.
But it prints out a thermo scan of your spine, and it shows which discs are going in which direction. And mine looked like the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I mean, it was all over the place.
Like what, Chris Middleton's teeth?
Yeah, not that bad. Not that bad.
That was low.
Whoa. That was not low. I've been thinking that for years, but you had the guts to say
that
it.
That was terrible.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's cool.
I'm sorry, because I actually like Chris Middleton a ton. That's terrible. I guarantee there's people out there laughing right now at that.
Oh,
that was
absolutely
off the cuff.
Chris Middleton is like, I'm trying to think of that perfect, like, fundamental hard work. He's like a Marcus Smart.
He's about to go on a few months long vacation too. Indiana's about to wrap that,
that
series
to go
up
home.
Hardcore. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
I apologize. I will try to refrain from that. See, that's what happens from yesterday. I had just pandemonium in here on the show, maybe because it was like a billion things for me to cover. And in the end, I didn't have organized enough notes. I had a few guests, chaos going through my
Chris
mind.
Chris Middleton wasn't British, is he? Like, that would make sense if he was British.
Yes,
I'm just curious.
It sounds like a Middleton, Sir Middleton. I wish if I could do a British accent, I would do it. But you're the accent guy. What do you got for a British accent?
Well, I really don't know. I think maybe he should go down to hospital or the dentist and have them try to maybe put things back into place. Really, I do.
Not bad. All right, let's forward on to the Celtics. Let's steamroll past this. I don't even know what the final score was, and nobody really cares. The Celtics came out. We dominated. We won. We played defense. I mean, Miami had 50 points with 4 minutes to go in the third period. The Celtics defense, just like I said after game one, if Jaime Jaquez is your best offensive weapon, you are not going to be able to beat the Celtics. And that has become very evident over the last couple of games.
No, and Jaquez is a really nice player, too. He's a rookie, right? I believe
23 years old.
And he's a really nice piece. And honestly, in a couple of years, maybe. But I mean, they just, the Heat is such an old team now. I mean, they really. They need to kind of flush things out and start over, I think.
Well, or they would say, hey, Jimmy Butler, if he was healthy, we would have won. Jimmy, hey, how you feeling about that Instagram or whatever it was, social media feed that you put out there? Don't let us get one. Yeah, yeah, nice job. It's never a great idea to be talking trash when you're a bench player, like when you're not going to be able to have an impact on the game, because that post still, it got the Celtics focused.
Well, when you're losing, you shouldn't.
No, well,
we've covered that before.
But they did win after that game, too, right? They were all excited there. But hey, listen, Kristaps Porzingis, Mitty. I wrote down some stats. I mean, in three of the games, I didn't get to all of them because I was confused again this morning. But his stats, we played four games. One game, 7 points, 3 rebounds, zero assists. One game, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. The guy's pulling down 5 rebounds a game. 2 assists a game on average, 2 and change, for points averaging what, 10, 11, 12. Kristaps Porzingis, it was nice to know you. It was nice to have you, but he's not a playoff performer, I'm sorry.
No, he's not. Typically, history will show us that he's kind of bowed out, and it's probably because he's 7'4". And, you know, he's very easily injured. But
and skinny.
If you've been watching him through this series, he's had several moments where he's been either walking, jumping, or defending, or whatever it may be, and he's kind of come up hobbling, favoring that right leg. He's got a strained calf muscle in his right calf, and they are sending him for an MRI today to make sure there's no tears in the Achilles or anything like that. But he's been favoring it, and he's been hobbling, and there's really no secret that he's hurt. And I think he should just be getting a lot less minutes, maybe even sit out the rest of this series.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen. The Unicorn, remember, he was minus 32 in that game, too, and I was trashing him on here. Listen, I like him. I want him on the team. It was a good trade. It was a positive out of subtracting the negative of Marcus Smart. So when you got two negatives, it turns into a positive. I'm glad we had Kristaps here. But if anybody's going to use this as a reason or an excuse for like why we might come up short, if we came up short down the road, I don't care if it was in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Knicks. I don't care if it was in the very finals against Denver, which I'm going to tell you, I don't think Denver's getting there. I think Minnesota's getting there. I stayed to watch the end. Stayed up last night to watch the very end of that game.
They're so good.
Yeah, Jamal Murray made another game-winning shot. That's fantastic. But listen, the Los Angeles Lakers had three stiffs out there. I'm sorry, D'Angelo Russell is a stiff. Austin Reeves, okay, he's kind of decent. Rui Hachimura, he's just a player, dude. And then you have a 40-something-year-old LeBron, and you have an Anthony Davis who, come on, he just never has done what he could have done. No. So that's the team pushing Denver every single game of the series.
Plus Anthony Davis is he's already playing that checked out card. If you watched the game last night, LeBron James did everything he could to keep them in the game, and yes, he played phenomenal. You can't down him, no matter how old he is. God, he is good still. But Anthony Davis is on the sideline getting his shoulder massaged every single chance he can get, and he's looking at it, and he's acting like he's going to the hospital later on tonight as soon as he finishes this game. He just wants everybody to say, oh, they didn't win because Anthony was hurt. Bull crap.
Yeah.
No, he's not hurt.
Well, I mean, I don't know how hurt he is or isn't. I'm just saying Lakers were not that good. They pushed Denver right to the end. And I just think Denver's not the same team as last year. No. That Minnesota squad with Anthony Edwards, the fact that they're getting 2-1 odds right now on that series because Minnesota plays Denver next. This is done. Minnesota's playing Denver. I cannot believe that Minnesota is getting 2-1 as an underdog position in that series.
No way.
Let's see what happens. But people because they're young and they haven't done it before, but I'm sitting up and I'm watching these games. Minnesota's defense, if you think the Lakers' defense was good, you have no plan for what's coming up against you with the Minnesota defense.
Plus, am I the only one that is noticing Anthony Edwards likes the playoffs? Holy smokes, that kid is electric.
He has come
alive in a way that nobody knew he could. And one of my favorite parts of that game was at the end. They just swept the Phoenix Suns with Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Booker. I mean, that's a solid group. And they just shut them out. And at the end of that game, he goes out to midcourt, and he gives the hands out. Hey, check this out. I'm sending your team home. And Kevin Durant walks up to him, and he says, great game, man. You deserve this. Enjoy. Like, everybody's thinking, oh, man, these guys are fighting. Nah, Kevin Durant's a pro. He's been there. He's welcoming the new stud into the league. He loves it.
I agree. I don't think that was just like a, hey, great job for one series. That was like an anointing that you are the man. Anthony Edwards is that dude.
He's for real.
Yeah, I just don't see them losing a game and then not coming back the next game with an even bigger, harder effort. And Denver, I just look at their bench, and I look at Jamal Murray. He's somewhat hobbled. And no, people are just expecting Denver's going to go and do this again. Like, there's some big winning team because Minnesota's never done this before.
Right.
Well, let's see. We got some exciting stuff going on in that next series.
Plus
out
the
there.
Changing of the guards. I think that's
awesome.
Happening right now.
Yep.
You know, you got your superstars in LeBron and Garnett. And I mean, you could list off players all day long. But the point is, you've got some aging superstars going out, and you have some serious young talent all in the 23, 24, 25 range that is just taking over this league.
Shake
Gilgeous Alexander last night leads his team to a sweep. But keep this in mind. New Orleans. No Zion Williamson. So, like, listen, New Orleans team stinks. If you don't have Zion, their team stinks. They're borderline playoff even with Zion. So I just think the road is so set up for the Anthony Edwards. They're not going to lose to Dallas if they play Dallas. I'm thinking the Celtics are playing Minnesota in the finals, Mitty.
I don't know. That'll be a good series, Dallas and Minnesota.
Let's roll on into segment two. Mitty has some news about Tom Brady he's going to share with us when we come back from this commercial break on WKXL Radio. This is The Sports Machine with Slim. You can listen on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, or nhtalkradio.com. Welcome back to The Sports Machine with Slim. Me and Mitty were talking during the commercial break there. How we just, boom, we start out talking about, what was it?
I don't know.
The Celtics, then we transition to one thing to another, and then it's Anthony Edwards and Minnesota playing potentially Dallas in the NBA playoffs.
I kind of like that.
What'd you think about Deal or No Deal? I know we talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Aaron's
Rob lost
home.
His buddy Aaron. Yeah. Do the accent for us. Do the speech thing if you can pull it together.
What are you talking about?
No,
really? No. Aaron was just he tried to put a plan together and it didn't work. But I was really happy to see that at the end of the show he told his girlfriend that he became a stronger man because of it, and he feels like maybe he'd go home and he's a real better of a man because of it. Really.
That's spot on right there, Mitty. People out there, if you're not watching Deal or No Deal, to catch you up real quick, it's one of these Survivor type shows. But Boston Rob, who won, I think, one edition of Survivor. When was that? Way back when. But this guy's now a game show lifer, and everybody knows he's like the criminal mastermind, but he's actually like a decent dude. Oh,
Stephanie's the mastermind.
No,
she even admits it.
Yeah, yo, I hate
She's
her.
She's horrible.
Yeah, we want her out. And I think the Jordan lady's going to turn on her. I think that's what's coming. Because right now, Rob.
Final four.
Boston Rob's right-hand man, Aaron, who Mitty just did the accent for. We were down in the final five, and Boston Rob was with this guy, Aaron. Well, Aaron kind of was going to turn on Boston Rob, but it was way too early.
Maybe. He cried. I don't think
stuff.
He could have done it.
He should not have. It was too early to start that. You don't turn when there's five. You turn when there's four left. But even if he did, you're going to be the outsider with the other two, dude.
Yep.
So now what's happening is Rob is up with a woman that we all like, Jordan, who's like hasn't been in the bottom. She's been at no risk.
She's been
risk.
A good person.
She's been a good person. But then there's the other two evil women that I do not like.
Amy and Stephanie.
Right. And so we know Stephanie is a horrible liar to everybody. She's the real villain. Amy, I just don't like her.
Yep.
But it's like, all right, what's Boston Rob going to do
with
the
now you got
here?
Two alliances. You got Rob and Jordan who started to see eye to eye, though. You could tell that they had a chat, and Jordan's saying, you know, I'm starting to think that maybe Stephanie's full of crap and that Rob's... So you got two alliances, one that looks like it's becoming strong and one that looks like it's, hey, I think this lady's full of crap. I don't know if I trust her. I think Rob is stronger than ever.
This is not sports, but
we are. You watch the games.
We're rooting for Boston Rob. Okay, so we're rooting for the local guy. And on top of it, the winning prize for this is over $10
million. Yep.
So it's been scaling up each week. So the winner's going to get over $10 million, which is pretty darn cool. Let's go Boston Rob. Just piggyback on the success of the Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics and what both teams are trying to do to shed the curse of Tom Brady. I've said it on these airwaves. I haven't said it in a couple of months, but we started it out four or five months ago, back December. I started to tell people, this Boston region, there's a curse hanging over us, a curse of Tom Brady, and we're going to try and shed it. We're going to talk more about that. I'm just mentioning it today, but Mitty has another discussion point on Tom Brady I want everybody to hear about.
Well, if you are a diehard Boston sports fan, what is the one thing since 2001 that everybody wishes they could have had? And that is nothing more than either Tom or Bill Belichick just talking and telling the truth and just telling us the answers to the questions we want. Well, Monday on Netflix at 8 p.m., Tom Brady is going to get roasted. And, you know, this is a big deal because let's just run through a couple of the names that are going to be roasting Tom Brady, like Bill Belichick, Kevin Hart, Julian Edelman, Randy Moss, Drew Bledsoe, Cat Williams, and not to mention all the typical, you know, Ross, what's his name, whatever.
Netflix, so everybody knows, it's called The Greatest Roast of All Time is what they're putting out on their Twitter.
Already toting it.
Tom Brady will be live on Netflix on May 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern, hosted by Kevin Hart with an all-star lineup of surprise roasters. No Brady rule, no pads, no mercy. This is a Tom Brady roast.
There's going to be some serious low blows, and there are going to be some things that the viewers are going to shut off their TV at the end going, oh man, I don't think that life in sports is ever going to be the same. Because Bill Belichick is going to get up there. You're going to hear him swear. You're going to hear him drop personal jokes, and you're going to hear him share experiences that we didn't know about. And I cannot wait.
What a great time to be a Boston sports fan.
What a great time to be 12.
May 5th. I wonder if there's any way there could be a playoff game. Imagine if there's a Boston playoff game on May 5th at 8 o'clock. Like, wait a second. These other series could be done by that and start. Would the schedulers for the NBA or the NHL playoff committee, would they say, wait a second, we're going to not have a game on May 5th because Boston fans want to watch the greatest roast of all time, Tom Brady, and not go against that?
That's like saying, well, hey, when do you want to schedule it? I don't know. I heard God is coming to town. Do you want to just schedule it when God is on? Because no one's going to want to see God.
Yeah. Might not want to go up against that. Now listen, I'm not
counting
my chickens.
Would God go up against Tom Brady?
I have said the greatest person to ever walk this earth is Jesus Christ. The second greatest is Tom Brady.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm on record with this. I've also said if I was going to ever turn gay, Tom Brady would be the guy I would want to do it with.
In a heartbeat. I'd do all the nasty stuff.
Oh, okay. Now, we're not going to go down that road.
But hey, how about this? Tom Brady versus God or Caitlin Clark versus you, which would be a better fight?
Well, I mean, on the basketball court, people would love to watch Caitlin Clark beat up on me. Because, listen, I know I could guard her better than the other players she's going against. But there's no doubt, if I play one-on-one against her, she's going to beat me. She's going to eventually... So, I guess, wait a minute.
It'd be fun, though.
Yeah, I'm getting old.
Do you think she smells nice on the court?
No, I don't want to talk about Caitlin Clark today. I don't want to think about it because it brings up my own own fragility right now, and I just want to move past some of this. I'm 50 years old, and it's starting to hit me that I'm too old to be talking about how I could beat some of these athletes. I was texting my brother the other day. I said, I'd be willing to bet Russell Westbrook $1,000 that I could beat him in a three-point shooting contest today. And I am serious. I would get the cash and show up. Russell Westbrook, if you're in need of cash, $1,000, you can name the court. I will show up and I will play an NBA-style three-point shooting contest, me against you, and I will predict I would beat him every single time.
You know
time.
Who you wouldn't beat?
Who?
Derek White.
No. 8 for 15 last night from 3. That's in the flow of game action, up and down, running the court. He was awesome.
He was ridiculous. 38 points. It was his best game he's ever played. He couldn't miss.
15 for 26 from the field. And not for nothing, this is what nobody's going to talk about. You tune into the Sports Machine with Slim and Mitty today because you want next level insight into these games. Derek White, we said it, 38 points. That's what everybody's going to talk about. He had 3 blocks. Guess how many blocks the entire Celtics team had last night?
Was it 4?
3.
It was 3?
Derek White has 38 points in all 3 of the blocks. Like, this dude is the guy, and I know we've said on this show, he's more important than Jaylen Brown. He just is. He does everything. And last night, he did exactly what we're going to need him to do moving forward, which is just, you're a number one option, dude. Like, I'm not saying you are the number one option. You have to think you're a number one option. It's okay for you to shoot 26 times if you're making that many shots.
Well, what's going
to
happen going up against a team like Miami is you got a defense that's pretty decent. It's okay, but they got to guard Jason Tatum. They got to guard Jaylen Brown. They got to guard Kristaps Porzingis. They got to guard Drew Holiday. And it just keeps going down this list until it gets to Derek White. Yeah, he's going to be open. I'm sorry. Yes, he's a great player. Don't let me take away from that.
But when you've got a guard four perennial super all-stars ahead of him, he's going to be open. So if you're not finding him, then you're making the mistake.
It was almost two possessions in a row, I think, in the third period where saw Derek White. Yeah, he just cut into the middle. He did it aggressively, smart, got the pass.
One and was then, a foul.
Boom, up. Yes, it was, the first one. And he complained a little bit, but he finishes traffic. And yeah, let's talk about Scal right after this. But then it was very close to the next possession down or the one just after that where, again, he just was like, I'm getting the ball, and goes in and dunks it. And it's like, dude, he hasn't been playing like that type of mentality, I don't feel, all year. He's shooting his threes, and he's being aggressive, but the dunks through traffic, extending, like, oh, wait a minute, like, that's the next level effort you want to see from guys in the playoffs. What'd you think about Scal's effort last night? Because we're talking Bruins the next couple of segments, Mitty.
You
take your rant right now. Scal.
I'll be honest with you. It's starting to get kind of annoying listening to Scal calling the games, because you got Mike Gorman, who's such a great color analyst, and then Scal, who just all he wants to do is complain about the refs all the time, but it's never, ever a 50-50. It's if somebody walks near a Celtic, oh man, those refs, they gotta call that. They're putting their hands all over him. That's a foul on the Celtics. He should be shooting too. And then when the Celtics come down the other end of the floor, they hit somebody in the face with a hammer, and we really gotta let these guys play. They're really getting on the Celtics.
This is how Tom Heinsohn
was for
years.
Let's play some ball.
Tom Heinsohn was like that for years, and people loved him for it. But
well, he got a Tommy point.
Yeah, exactly. I did not like the play last night by Adebayo, obviously, putting his foot out, and Tatum comes down on it, but there was a message there that I want people to hold on and think about that I'm going to tell you when we come back for segment three. We got a couple of very good Bruins callers that are lined up for segments three and four, but when we come back, I'm going to tell you real quick why I loved, actually, what Adebayo did with Tatum last night. This is the Sports Machine with Slim, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester is where you can hear us on WKXL Radio. Slim, and I want to make sure to thank the people that have been calling into this show over the past bunch of months. MBD, The Pistol, Thomas Pope. Yesterday, we heard from Tom Lane, who writes for the Celtics Sentinel, and he wrote a very cool post this morning that I read. I got a kick out of the title. Many thanks to the quote-unquote white-hot Heat fans for solidarity behind Derek White. And the article goes on to talk about they were all wearing their white shirts doing a whiteout last night at the Miami Heat Stadium. And he's like, hey, thanks for spurring Derek White onto greatness. And the way he wrote the words, it made me laugh a couple times. Mitty, does that sound at all interesting to you that you would search it out to try and read this?
It's kind of funny. It's a play on words. It's what I like. I honestly just think it makes the seats look empty. When you look from a distance on the camera, it's like, where is everybody? Oh, they're all wearing white.
The seats in Miami may be empty, but the phone lines here at the Sports Machine with Slim are full, and we have Bruins Sully, as I like to call him, on the line. He's the host of the Something's Brewing podcast. Is that how you call it? And what other stuff? Can you tell us what things you're on, Sully? Because I think you do a great job on social media, man.
Yeah, thanks, Slim. I'm a part of Primetime Productions. We're a brand new media company based out of Boston. We cover all sports league-wide. I also write for the network, weekly podcast for the network, and that's all we do right now, but it's been a ton of fun, and we're growing every day, and it's been a blast so far. And I want to thank you, too, for the opportunity to come on here and kind of reach out to a new audience as well.
Right on, Primetime Productions. So what's the Something Brewing podcast? Am I wrong? That's not you? Are you just a contributor to that?
No, you are correct. That's my podcast. I do it with my best friend, Nick Melanson. We hop on every Tuesday night. We drop the episodes on Wednesday morning. But we started with one of a couple of other friends of mine, Nick Busa, Brett Howard. They're also on the network as well at Only Bruins. and we all just have a blast talking hockey together.
How long have you been doing the Something's Brewing podcast?
Something's Brewing podcast is only about a year and a couple of months old.
So here we go, my man. We're in, like, such good times, orgasmic level times right now. We're on the verge of winning a series against Toronto tonight. The Toronto fan base has already given up. It seems like the players may have given up. What do you think happens? I don't want to be celebrating. I'm not celebrating. I'm saying we got to bring the thunder, but it does like seem pretty good right now.
Yeah, everything seems really well. There's tons of confidence in that locker room right now, especially with a guy, you know, leading the team in Brad Marchand, who is always on edge anyways as a player, so that bleeds into the rest of the locker room, and you've kind of seen that. A guy like Pat Maroon also kind of feeds off of Marchand's energy. A guy like Frederick, a guy like Geeky, all these guys, you know, in the faces of Toronto, they don't play that kind of game. I like to call them TikTok Toronto because they're basically just a bunch of young kids. They're on TikTok. They're doing things for clicks and likes and views. They're not built for the playoffs. And you could see that on the bench over, I believe it was game four, last game. Marner, Matthews, and Nylander were all arguing on the bench. You saw Marner throw his gloves. Nylander told Marner, this isn't junior hockey anymore. That team is crumbling. And as a Bruins fan, you love to see it. The Bruins have owned the Leafs for the past decade.
They haven't beaten them, Sully. I don't think that, I heard this morning, I don't think Toronto has beaten the Bruins in a series since 1957.
Yeah, yep, that's correct. That's the last time they did it. Obviously, 2013, that giant comeback kind of juiced back up this rivalry, and ever since then, it's just the Leafs have no answer for Boston.
Well, for starters, the Leafs have a great history of being loaded with decent players and being a pretty good team, and then just absolutely being incapable of winning anything in the postseason, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon, but my thing right now is I'm having a hard time picking, like, who's the MVP on the Bruins? Who is they've got a couple of players. I'm not going to say names, but anyway, Sully, sorry, I'm midding. It's very nice to talk with you, but I'm just trying to pick an MVP. Who's the best player on the Bruins right now, and why? Because
so three guys stand out to me right now. Obviously, you got Jeremy Swayman between the pipes, who Toronto absolutely has no answer for. They hadn't had an answer for him throughout the regular season either. Even going back to last season, he's 7-0 against Toronto. A guy like Jake DeBrusk, you could throw in there as well. He's got unbelievable playoff career numbers against Toronto, and this year is no different. You saw that in games 2 and 3 where he popped off for a couple points, a couple goals. But Brad Marchand right now, he's got 5 points through these first 4 games. And he single-handedly won game 4, I believe it was, with that pickoff pass in the offensive zone, set up Pastrnak for that nice one-time goal. Those would be my three leaders in the clubhouse right now for MVP of the series. But like you said, you could pick a handful of other guys as well. This team has played so well.
I have a very, very similar list to you. I just wanted to hear somebody else say it because Marchand has been in Bergeron's shadow for the past however long, 12 years, something like that. You know, he's never been able to say, all right, it's my turn to come out and shine. And he's doing a brilliant job of it now that he's having his opportunity. And Swayman, what are you going to say about Swayman?
It's the same thing with Swayman.
He's like a brick wall in the goal.
It's his opportunity to take over from Ullmark. You're getting the passing of the torch when you know he wanted to be in there last year.
And he took it. He wanted it. He said it. He took it.
It's one round, and we're all celebrating. Sully, do you think the Bruins wrap things up tonight? And what's your mindset for the entire team? I don't imagine they're going to like just think it's coming to them. I think this Bruins team just pushes forward, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I think, especially with a guy like Brad leading the team, he's not going to let the locker room think that this series is already over. It's not over until it's over. We saw this exact scenario last season. The Bruins were up 3-1 against Florida, couldn't close it out. Florida comes back. I hate to bring up those memories, but we can't forget it.
No problem, Buckner.
Yeah. I do think they close it out tonight in Boston. I think they're going to win it 5-1. I think it's going to be a shellacking at the Garden.
I love it, Sully, when you put your predictions out there for the scores. Like you always got lots of scores. 5-1, just similar actually to what Florida did last night to Tampa Bay, 6-1. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You had another thought there.
No, I was just going to say, on the other hand, though, if they do give this game away, they have a chance to close it out in the Garden, at home. You know,
all
the momentum is on their side. If Toronto can come into Game 5, then I think this series will be coming back to Boston for a seventh game.
This is what I want us to recognize, Sully, and this is inside the mind of the Celtics and the Bruins fans together, and it goes back to my Tom Brady take where we kind of expect to lose. Do you know the Boston Celtics, in their last 29 home games, home playoff games, are 13-16.
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics in the last 29 home playoff games, 13-16. So everybody's like, oh, Miami's coming back to Boston. You know, Boston's going to wrap it up. Oh, same thing tonight. Oh, Toronto's falling apart. The Boston fans need to get together and overcome the curse of the Tom Brady. And I'm just going to say, it starts tonight and it's tomorrow. The Bruins fans are in it together with the Celtics fans. We're not saying, oh, last year, oh, this and that. It's just calling attention to, dude, you need to win tonight.
Yep. Yep. Close it out. Don't give any momentum for Toronto. You already saw it last game, like I mentioned before. They're a little bit mentally weak right now. Marner, Matthews, Nylander, they're all hearing the conversations on social media, on radio. I think it was the Toronto Sun, they put out a missing persons cover, and it was Mitch Marner. So, I mean, they're in their own heads. Brad Marchand is in the head of, I mean, the entire Leafs team, but especially Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi. They got to close it out tonight. I think Jeremy Swayman, that's actually another conversation. I think Jeremy Swayman gets the start. I don't know how you could go to Omark for this. I think you have to go Swayman.
Agreed.
So that'll be intriguing to see as well. But
I'm a rotation guy, Sully, but I totally agree with you. You have to go Swayman tonight, but let's just play this out. Again, if you wanted to go down the negative road, the Bruins happen to lose tonight. Now all of a sudden, oh, who starts game six? Oh, Omark.
Yep.
Oh, no, it's going to be Swayman.
Yeah.
If we ever lost game six, everybody's going to be like, oh, Mark should start game seven. This is the whole thing once you deviate from the plan. Like, everybody thinks, oh, because we won game four and Swayman got the win. Oh, you idiots that were going for the rotation, see?
No.
But this is like, that's why you just need to win tonight, and we should. Celtics fans, Bruins fans, Boston fans, finish the deal tonight. Sully, you're leading the way.
Momentum.
Are you going to be on Twitter tonight doing your stuff or what?
Oh, yeah, I'm always on Twitter. We'll all live tweet that game together.
Do they people find you if they wanted to follow your stuff? They would go to Primetime Productions. Is that the easiest way to find your account? It's _ Mike Sullivan. Isn't that what your name is or something like that on Twitter?
Yeah, that's my handle on Twitter. That's probably the best way to find my profile online. But like I said, too, with Primetime Productions, we put out articles, media, podcasts. We got Celtics. We have Indianapolis Colts, St. Louis Cardinals, college football, golf, obviously Bruins as well. So if people want to follow the Primetime Productions network as a whole, that's where you'll get all our content, all our articles. But personally, I'm on Twitter at _ Mike Sullivan, and I'm always on Twitter.
Nice work, Sully. Let's text tonight during the game when the Bruins are winning, and we can talk about it sometime in the future here. We're coming back. We got more Bruins talk after this commercial break. The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Kentucky Derby is coming up on Saturday. I told y'all yesterday, and I did some research, listening to some interviews. The Clocker Report from DRF is a big thing I've always listened to. Mike Welsh is a guy on there that gives his take. He watches all the horses work out in the weeks leading up to the Derby, and he says a horse that I really like, Todd Pletcher trained, Fierceness is incredible. Is what he's looking. So he's going to be the favorite, probably 2-1 or 5-2. Mitty, do you have a pick in the Kentucky Derby so far?
Nay. I do not know anything about horses. However, if you got something for me, I would love you to tell me who to pick.
Stay tuned. My brother Dave is kind of a special individual with picking out, nice plays. Let's move on. Speaking of special, let's move on with our Bruins discussions here for today. I believe Matt from the Benders podcast is on here. You ready to rock and roll, Matt?
Yeah, hi guys. It's good to be back on.
Good name.
And hey, do you know anything about the Kentucky Derby? Do you have a horse that you're checking out?
No, I started to write down Nay because I thought that was like an inside scoop, but that there was a horse called Nay.
That's what horses say.
But no, I don't know anything about it. And I'll tell you what, it is a bucket list item. I'd like to go some time just to experience it, but
I've always wanted to check out a race.
Samir,
honestly.
Well, just so you know, the Kentucky Derby is the first leg of the Triple Crown for the three-year-old championship series of races. The second comes 2 weeks afterwards. That's the Preakness. 3 weeks after that is the Belmont Stakes, which is usually held at Belmont Park in New York, but Belmont Park is closed for renovations, so this year the Belmont Stakes will be held at Saratoga. That's coming up in 5.5 weeks or so. First time ever, and it's going to be a ridiculous, awesome party atmosphere up there. All the younger kids love it. The women come out dressed to the nines. It's just a great time. So if you have the Kentucky Derby on your bucket list, I might suggest an easy one that's going to be almost comparable, Matt, will be to go to the Belmont Stakes in Saratoga. How was my sales job right there?
I think you really, really sold it with the with the women. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Saratoga and I've been there, but I haven't been at the race, but it's beautiful, Saratoga Springs.
Beautiful, and the people up there are all nice. I don't know what's in the water, that Saratoga seltzer water, whatever it is. It's like people up there, they lose the bets. And around here, I grew up at the racetrack, you know, guys are swearing, they're ripping up the tickets, they're throwing it around, they're calling the jockeys names. Up there, everybody's nice. Like, okay, well, let's have another drink and we'll just go back to partying.
Well, a horse is a horse. Beautiful. Of course.
Yeah, there we go. So I could talk this stuff all day, obviously, Matt, but you're here because you know about the Boston Bruins and you must like what you're seeing so far.
And this last game, game four, was a complete defensive clinic. There weren't a lot of high danger chances for Toronto. There wasn't a lot of odd man rushes. I can only think of maybe one or two where Toronto had an advantage up the ice. And, you know, the Bruins just played a really great defensive game. The way they really need to play against these teams, because they have great goaltending, they have a good defensive structure and good defensemen. So this is how they have to play to win, and they played exactly how they need to, and it really frustrated Toronto. I mean, they were having conversations on the bench with each other, and then Matthews fell ill, and Nylander's had some problems with his migraines. And I mean, this is a team on the ropes, and the Bruins really did a great job in just stifling anything Toronto, you know, had coming their way.
Matt, is it my imagination, or does this Boston Bruins team win every single puck battle in the corners?
I mean, they do it. And one of the people who does it well is Charlie Coyle, and he's a very underrated player. Call it a 200-foot game, where he's just up and down the ice playing, you know, a good offensive possession player, but also a really good defensive center, a good penalty killer, a veteran player. But they do, and they have been against Toronto, and we've seen sometimes with the Maple Leafs where they stop playing and they don't fight as hard for pucks in the corners. We start with Nylander, where he just sort of stood up and stopped with Jesper Boqvist. Boqvist takes the puck and just heads up the ice. And Mitch Marner wasn't really fighting for certain pucks. And when you really break it down, the Bruins just had a little bit more fortitude. They have a little bit more mental toughness. And they're really sort of out-toughing the Maple Leafs now.
It's great to see, and we're going to need it because I see that New York Rangers team on the other side just kind of taking care of business against Washington, and I watch the way they're doing it. They are big. That Rempe cat, you don't want to be fighting that guy. They are just a big, strong team that we got to get through a couple of rounds, but I would love to see New York face off against the Bruins. What do you think about that other series? Do you want to even talk about that at all? But Carolina against New York, New York is the serious underdog, and I don't understand why. I think the Rangers are the better team.
Best team in the league, I think.
I mean, the Rangers are a big, heavy team. Carolina plays a really heavy forechecking style. So does Florida. Those are the teams that give Boston problems in the past. I think that the Bruins are a little bit more equipped now with Maroon, and Geeky has size, and JVR has size. I mean, they are a little bit bigger and heavier than in the past. The defensemen are bigger now. They've added Wotherspoon, and The lower eye is bigger than Grizzlick and so forth. So the Bruins are a bigger team now. Whether they can withstand those types of heavy, heavy teams is really what the question will be. Next series against Florida, if the Bruins win, is going to be just a nasty series with last year's, memory still fresh, and Florida beating Boston, and they beat them in a way that they kind of bullied them into a series win, and the Bruins have heard a lot about that, backing down and that kind of thing. So you think the Bruins will be motivated to beat Florida. And then, like you said, you've got, either Carolina or the Rangers. And I mean, it's a gauntlet heading toward a Stanley Cup final if the Bruins can get there. So it's going to be very difficult. But I think that now the Bruins really have to focus on winning tonight. And Montgomery even said this in the practice. He's worried about their urgency. He was worried about it in practice. They can't take their foot off the pedal. One win here, one steal of a win for Toronto, completely change the series, give them the confidence they need, and then you're really fighting again like you were last year. So absolutely, they have to come out tonight with the urgency to finish this thing off.
Absolutely. And, you made a really good point there with the toughness, too. If you look back over the past few years, anytime the Bruins have had any sort of a loss, they get outplayed by the bigger, stronger teams. They got all the talent in the world, great players, great scorers. But like, look back to a couple years ago against the St. Louis Blues, bigger, stronger team, and the Bruins just looked like a JV team out there. They don't do well against the bigger,
stronger
teams.
This is a different team, and let's talk about the guys that could potentially play tonight, man, with Brazzers. Justin Brazeau is ready to get back in the lineup, and I guess Forbert is too, but I can't see Monty putting either of those guys in tonight, right? Just because you can't take anybody else out.
Right.
No, I don't think you touch it. And I think last year in Game 5, he made the mistake of putting Bergeron in a little bit early. He was hurt, and they made some line changes unexplainably in that Game 5, and then they lose the game in overtime. And now they're back in Florida, and it kind of ruined the chemistry and kind of ruined the rhythm of the team. And it was a little bit of an overcoaching, I thought, on his part. So I don't think you'll see any changes. I think Swayman will be in net. I think the roster will be the same. I think even Kevin Shattenkirk, who's drawn some criticism, not a lot of ice time, but he's there for the power play unit, really specifically. He only plays about 10 minutes a game. There was some talk that maybe Forbort goes in there as a penalty killer, or something like that, but I just don't see it happening. I think you just stay with what got you here, and then if you have to make adjustments, then you make it for Game 6, but I don't think you change anything. And Derek Forbort hasn't played in a couple of months. I mean, he's been out, and it's really hard to throw him in there, and he wasn't great
right
when he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really hard for him to play with the speed right now.
Don't
right
try to fix a problem that there's no problem. In fact, Mason Lowrie not only is not a problem, which I thought he was going to be. I thought he was a weak link when he came in. He's been, from a defensive standpoint, like one of the best offensive options we have. The puck moving on him, I haven't seen the bad turnovers. This is a young kid who, if he can keep playing like this, like, dude, in two series, people are going to be like, this guy's incredible if he can keep playing this way.
Yeah, and I clamored for Lowrie to start the series on the podcast. I said, you got to put him in for Grizzlick and just start him in Game 1. And if he doesn't do well, then pull him. You're not going to lose the series in the first game. But they waited a couple of games, and then they finally put him in. But I thought he should have started the series because he's a gifted offensive defenseman. He can move the puck really well. He's very smooth. He's a decently smooth skater. He's learning the defensive part of it. He had a couple of really big block shots in the last game. Anytime the Bruins had any type of pressure there, he was up to the challenge. I mean, there were a couple of turnovers in Game 3, and there was maybe one in Game 4. But other than that, like you said, I think he's been really, really good. He's added a different dynamic to the defense, and I think he takes a little bit of pressure off Lindholm. As far as a puck mover, and I think Lowrie's future, I mean, he's a guy that's going to be a really good player for them for a while. So I say you throw him out there, and you keep him out there until he really screws it up.
You bring a different dimension to this show, Matt. Nice work. Let's see what happens with this Bruins team tonight. Let's get the W. Mitty, that's it for us today.
All right. See you next week.
This is the Sports Machine with Slim, everybody. WKXL
Don't miss
Radio.
The Brady Roast.
1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it in the right place. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com.